Welcome to Come Heal Yourself with Monica Goyle on OM Times Radio. Monica is a spiritual counselor and healer with a life purpose to put people in touch with their innate healing abilities, empowering them to live a life full of joy, love, peace, and abundance. Through this show, you'll learn to heal every aspect of your life by connecting to your higher self. And now your host, Monica Goyle.
Welcome, friends. Come heal yourself. Let's welcome the founder of Intuition Magazine, Colleen Morrow, today. I'm so grateful for her to be here present with us to provide us mind training techniques designed to help readers access the wisdom and guidance of their own souls. The techniques she introduces come from a body of knowledge called the Ageless Wisdom and Yoga Sutras. I think some of our listeners from India might be familiar with Sage Patanjali. And Colleen seems to be inspired by Patanjali and the Yoga Sutras. And she has actually included the wisdom in her book, in her new book as well. Welcome, Colleen.
Hi, Monica. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. We are so honored to have you.
Thank you.
Tell us, Colleen, what led you to where you are? Tell us about your journey and how Intuition Magazine came along.
Well, I'd love to tell the story because it's a very good illustration of the experience that I wrote about in my book. I had always been interested in the spiritual world and intuitive studies. And in the late 80s, I was living in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I had worked for several alternative magazines. And I suddenly found myself without a job. And I was trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. I had already worked for all the magazines I liked. So I was a little bit stumped about what my next step would be. And I spent my days researching new magazines, talking to editors, and worrying about money. You know how expensive it is to live there. So
yes.
I was really scared. I didn't want to be unemployed for too long. So one morning I woke up and I had been so stressed about this that I decided that I needed to take a mental health day, that mm-hmm. I give myself one worry-free period of 24 yes. hours where I wouldn't think about the fact that I was unemployed and I would just enjoy the day. I remember that it was October and that's my favorite month in San Francisco. So I went and bought some bulbs and I decided mm-hmm. to just putter around my backyard and plant my bulbs and get the garden ready. Mm-hmm. And as I was puttering around, I had a type of intuitive experience that I'd never had before. A thought just flashed through my mind. And the thought was the Center for Applied Intuition. Mm-hmm. And I've always been very intuitive and I've always accessed intuition through feelings or some kind of body-based sensation.
Yeah.
But this was different. This was a purely mental experience. The words seemed to have been dropped right into my brain. And I immediately knew that it wasn't my thought.
Wow.
And it certainly made no logical sense. I knew about the center and I had met Bill Kautz, who is the founder. But I couldn't imagine why I go there if I was looking for a magazine job. He had a tiny two-room office. I knew that he ran intuition trainings, mm-hmm. but it didn't make any sense in the context of me trying to find a magazine job.
Mm-hmm.
So I just mulled it over for a few days, and then I thought, well, what have I got to lose? And I called him up, and I asked him to send me information about the center's activities. And a few days later, I got a big package. I dumped it out, and there were several brochures and a very simple typewritten journal called Applied Psi. And I sat down and I started to read the magazine, and the subject was on intuition and creativity.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, this is really interesting. I bet this could be a real magazine. I think a lot of people would be interested in this. He was sending it only to his membership, which is about 200 in those days. And so I got to thinking, this could be a real magazine, and this might be the perfect marriage of my interest and experience. So I got real excited. I called him up, and I made an appointment to go and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And when I arrived at the center, I told him about my idea, and he just lit up and said the right person had never come along. It had always been his dream, and he was very excited. I went home, and I just created a proposal on the spot, brought it back the next day, and I suddenly found myself launching a new magazine. We called it, we called it Intuition, a magazine for the higher potential of the mind. And I got two issues out before he closed the center and signed the rights over to me. And I had to start all over again with my financing, but I finally got a grant that allowed me to get an office and hire a staff. And I published the magazine for another 8 years until the year 2000. And it just steadily grew. I think we had a readership of about 60,000 towards the late 90s.
My God.
Yeah. And it was just a labor of love, and it was really fun, and people just loved it. And it was perfect for that time. And when I think about it now, the things that I think are interesting about the story are, one, I never could have gotten there through rational process, because as I said, it never would have occurred to me to contact him if I was looking for a magazine job. And I got something better than what I was looking for. I got to have my own magazine instead of being an employee. And I couldn't have seen that in the next decade, all through the 90s, there would be a flood of information. I think it was USA Today that said that intuition was the buzzword of the 90s. And it was. There was huge amounts of books and audio programs and classes. Wow. You probably remember that.
Yeah.
And so it was just perfect for its time. It was like it was meant to be. And when I folded the magazine in the year 2000, I started to study the ageless wisdom. And I was immediately intrigued by the subject of spiritual telepathy. And I realized that this was the next step, that it was a more advanced type of spiritual perception. And it would be built on the foundation that we created in the 90s of teaching people to honor their basic intuition, that this was something a little more advanced. And I got very excited about it. And I studied it for years. And I finally wrote my book, which is Spiritual Telepathy, Ancient Techniques to Access the Wisdom of Your Soul.
That's beautiful. So tell me, Colleen, what was different? What happened that day that led you to this?
Well, I just got, it was, felt like orders from headquarters. I mean, it was just this thought that was in my brain that I knew came from somewhere else. It didn't come from me.
And then
I can't
really
explain. I can't explain what it felt like. I just knew that it wasn't my thought. And, you know, and I, but even so, I stood there in the garden and I tried to trace back why I might have generated that particular thought. And I couldn't, because it, you know, wasn't mine. So I just quickly gave up. And, you know, because it didn't make any sense, it took me a few days to get around to thinking, well, what the heck? I might as well just
do it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so glad I did. If I didn't, my life would have been very different. And this really put me on a path that's really meant everything to me.
Yeah. So do you think because that day you took time to relax and just be yourself, empty yourself?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's that. I'm glad you're making that point, because that's exactly right. I was just, you know, in the middle of frenetic activity. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, I got to make sure, you know, I was always checking my bank balance too, you know, terrified.
Yeah.
That I get evicted or something if I didn't find a job soon. So yeah, I had
we
to
stop. All do. We all do.
Literally stop and just go offline. And I was, I remember I was just sort of blissfully puttering around, not thinking about anything when this whole thing happened.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. And so when you started reading the about the ancient wisdom in this, you know, in Yoga Sutras.
Yeah.
How, so before that, how was your, what should I say, like, was it all a mental intuition that you were like, you know, following and you were teaching about, and something more deep happened when you started reading about those techniques? And was
yes. Yeah, I understood that this was a higher level. And what we were teaching people to do is just to listen to and act on their personal intuition. And I think a lot of it is the gut feelings that we were taught to ignore that, that do provide us with information. And, I see this as the, it's often called the higher correspondence to our personal intuition. Our personal intuition provides us with guidance about our relationships, our jobs, and other aspects of our day-to-day life. But spiritual telepathy happens when we make contact with a soul. The definition is communication from the subtle worlds, from our soul or from even higher levels.
Yeah.
And communication from these levels is always telepathic. We don't audibly hear the information. It's just dropped into our brains exactly way it was for me in the garden. And then it's formulated into thought.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a higher kind of intuitive experience. The soul knows our higher purpose and can help us understand the bigger picture. And it's our highest and most reliable source of direction and guidance.
Yeah, I can totally relate to it. I mean, I have had a similar experience. I mean, it's almost like you are drawn, like you just can't ignore. Things just push you in that direction.
Right. Exactly right. And some people don't pay attention. Mm-hmm. And that's what we taught people, is to pay attention to these cues. You know, your head might be telling you one thing, but your gut might be telling you another. And that's a really valid source of information. So we discount it and we don't pay attention to our great peril, because there is more information that is coming to us than what we can process mentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe or define spiritual telepathy?
Well, as I said, it's communication from the subtle worlds,
from
our souls, or from even higher levels. And this is something that I found very interesting, is that when we make contact with the soul, we have access to the universal or divine mind, which is the storehouse of all information and knowledge, past, present, and future. And I have a lot of experiences in the book about people who we call geniuses, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But what I'd like to tell people is what I discovered is that it's one of three types of telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest is instinctual or feeling-based telepathy, and this is our gut feelings, our way of communicating with the people that we're closest to. We just know when a loved one is in trouble. Mm-hmm. We often know when somebody close to us has died or
having
some kind of emergency. So that is instinctive telepathy.
Mm.
The second is mental or mind-to-mind telepathy, and then the highest is spiritual or soul-to-soul telepathy. Mm. And what I like about this teaching is that it illustrates the progression of our perceptual abilities from the instinct of early man to the intellect of modern man to the pure intuitive knowing of the soul-aligned human being. And we're right at that doorway now where we can take that step into our future.
Mm-hmm. And we will be back discussing after a very short break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Alicia Isaacs-Howes.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. You can find us every week here on Om Times Radio at Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business, and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Alicia Isaacs-Howes.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. You can find us every week here on OM Times Radio at Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
So, Colleen, we were talking about three different types of telepathy.
Mm-hmm. So, as I said, that there are three types. Instinctual is the lowest type.
Mm-hmm.
Mental is the next type. And then spiritual or soul-to-soul cycle is the highest tide. And we're right at that point where we can start to develop that now.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think so?
Well, I think that it's the time that we're living in. And this is kind of interesting because a lot of people are writing about this now. They're writing about how we are sort of the crossover generation, as Barbara Marx Hubbard calls us, that those of us on Earth today are responsible for leading the way from one stage of our species evolution to the next. Mm-hmm. And when we start to access those higher levels, what we're doing is we're moving beyond the human level to the superhuman level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important because for our times, especially because once we make contact with the soul, everything in our life changes. We lose that sense of separateness, and we realize that we're part of one great life, the soul of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we experience our interconnection with everyone and everything. And Barbara Marx Hubbard and Eckhart Tolle, in his book, The New Earth, mm-hmm. they talk about how evolution happens as a result of some sort of crisis that propels or forces us to make a leap forward. And we're certainly in a crisis period now. Tolle uses the example of an amphibian who is mm-hmm. forced to live on land after its habitat dries up.
Yes.
And so we're getting forced to do that sort of big shift too, but we're not going to leap onto land. We're going to leap into the subtle worlds where mm-hmm. we can have that sense of connection and oneness with everyone. And when we do that, war really becomes obsolete.
Yes. Wonderful. So true. So tell us about the main premise of spiritual telepathy. What will readers really learn from your book?
Well, the book provides both the theory and a step-by-step mind training practice mm-hmm. that will allow readers to make direct contact with the soul and through the soul to even higher worlds. Mm-hmm. I've always wondered why some people can do this, but most of us can't.
Yes.
And I've loved every movie, and I think I've seen every movie about Joan of Arc, even the really awful made-for-TV ones. And I've always sort of teared up and thought, why can she talk to saints and angels mm-hmm. and most of us can't? And I remember reading a book about the Finhorn community and Eileen Caddy, who received the guidance that led to the step-by-step guidance that led her and her husband to create these gardens and create this community.
Mm.
And I also mentioned in the book about George Washington Carver. Mm-hmm. He was said to have walked in the woods each morning to talk to God. And apparently God was talking back. He called it the divine radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always thought, it's always stirred a longing in me. And I thought, why does this happen to only some people? Why, you know, are they more evolved than us,
yes.
or is it somehow preordained? And what I realized in studying the subject is that everybody can do this with the proper training, that mm-hmm. we can all cultivate this ability, that it is, in fact, our evolutionary destiny, mm-hmm. that over the evolutionary process through the next 1 million years or so, we will all get there, but it's possible to speed it up mm-hmm. by these practices. And those of us who feel drawn to do this, I think, have a role to play in helping the world today.
I completely agree.
Yeah. So it's very exciting. It was very exciting to me. And it took years to study this and to understand it and to sort of create a context for it. But it was just a labor of love. I knew I was on the right track. I knew that this was the next assignment, you know, that I had been given. And I realized that when we do this, we actually become intermediaries between the physical and spiritual worlds,
mm-hmm.
that we can pull in higher levels of wisdom and knowledge, both to use in our own lives and to be used in our service.
Hmm.
So that when we train the mind, traditional forms of channeling and mediumship really become obsolete because we don't need the middleman. The mind gets trained to be able to extend upward out into the cosmos, mm-hmm. gather information, and then download that information into our brains. So, you know, we have our own personal Google, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then why is it hard for some of us?
Well, it's a training. It's a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to decide if and when we're ready to do it, because it really is a daily discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mind training practice. And it's often called creative meditation or Raja Yoga meditation. It's what Patanjali taught all those many hundred years ago.
Yes.
And in the mystery schools, it was considered a secret teaching that was given out only to the people who were deemed ready for it. But we're evolved now that any of us can do this if we feel so inclined. Mm-hmm. But it is a daily discipline. Mm-hmm. And it really goes a step further than most meditation practices because it goes beyond just quieting the mind. In this type of meditation, we're actively training our minds to transmit information from the soul to the brain. Mm-hmm. The information has to reach the brain to become part of our conscious awareness. And when we do this, we're essentially creating the threads and cables that will link us to the higher worlds in the same way that our homes are wired for telephone and internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this by projecting our attention upward to the soul day after day.
Mm-hmm.
We visualize the soul as a star about 6 inches above our head. And as we do this every day, we anchor small threads of energy that eventually form a symbolic bridge between the mind, the brain, and the soul. And it was very interesting to me to realize that this is in every tradition and every culture. It's called the Rainbow Bridge in the wisdom teachings.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Antahkarana.
Yeah.
In the Hindu text, and it's even in the Bible. It's called the Straight or Narrow Gate in the New Testament. So it really forms the core of all of our spiritual traditions.
Yes, it does. It's amazing.
It is. It is.
We all are actually connected.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so this was, as I said, this was considered secret teaching only for, you know, the select few.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to us. It's available to anybody who wants and feels ready to do it.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I know you said it's about training the mind. But mm-hmm. some of us have so many doubts about us being able to do it. Or, you know, like, as you say, humanity has evolved. And we are ready to do it. I mean, there is evolution of mass consciousness, right? But mm-hmm. so many of us don't feel that way. We still feel this is something that only selected few can do. There is a lot of doubt and fear.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Well, we're all walking down the same road. The only difference is what part of the road we're walking down. And so I think people know in their hearts if they're ready for this, if it's something that's right for them. And it's not right for everybody.
Hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people want to, but then again, the doubts come, self-doubts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if they will be able to. So as an energy healer and also teacher of, you know, energy healing workshops, I've seen people, when you know, some of my students, some feel ready, some are ready, but then so many of them come with so much resistance mm-hmm. and doubt.
Mm-hmm.
If they will be able to do it the way I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, you know, it's like hand holding and helping them see and feel as we move through the processes. But mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to talk about, like how to convince, because this is something so valuable, Colleen.
Mm-hmm.
If we all can do this, if we are connected and if we follow this spiritual intuition, our lives will be so wonderful.
That's right. In the book, I made it very how-to and step-by-step. Mm-hmm. There's actually 12 meditations in the book and 2 additional practices.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggest that people just do the basic meditation mm-hmm. and see how they like it. It's very simple and it doesn't take, it only takes 10 or 15 minutes a day mm-hmm. and they can try it and see how they feel.
Yeah.
And there's something interesting that in the esoteric books, it's said that the esotericist is always self-taught, mm-hmm. that it's an internal process that we know we decide when we're ready for it. Mm-hmm. And when we are, we do it. That it's completely an inner process. It's up to mm-hmm. us. But I would suggest that people just try the very basic stuff mm-hmm. and see how it feels to them.
So do you also have any audios and any, you know, any workshops or seminars that you do?
Yeah, I just did one in January at East West in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Yes, I am doing some workshops, and I hope to do audios in the future.
Okay, and we can find that information on your website.
That's right.
Awesome. That's great. So how does your book relate to your work with intuition that you have been doing?
Well, as I said, I think it's the next step. It's a more advanced form of intuitive perception.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we did in the 90s laid the groundwork, that was absolutely the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And something I think is very interesting is that when I got to thinking about this, I realized that there have been many steps before. It seems to go in stages. For example, I'm old enough to remember the 70s. Mm-hmm. And in the 70s, psychism was the big thing. And there were many books on psychic development, audios, classes, centers.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, it was channeling. That was the big thing. The 90s, it was intuition. And after the turn of the century, remote viewing was really the big thing that everybody was talking about. And so this is the next thing. And I think each one builds on the other. Each thing is a little bit more advanced than what came before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we learn step by step.
Great. So you were talking about the creative, daily practice of creative meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain or take us through a process or share from your book?
I could. We're almost to the break. Do you want me to do that when we come back?
Yeah, sure. We can definitely discuss that when we are back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what I can do is I can just give you an overview
mm-hmm.
of the steps in this meditation. And it basically, if people, especially in India, if they're familiar with Raja Yoga, you find this very familiar because it's based on Raja Yoga.
Yeah.
Taught so many hundreds of years ago.
Yes. I think there are a lot of followers of Raja Yoga in India, and I think all over the world now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the yoga of our present time. It's the yoga of the mind. It's mm-hmm. helping us train the mind, and the mind really is the tool that we use to access the higher worlds.
Mm-hmm. Surely. And we'll take a short break here and be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix. Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she is feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, Colleen.
Thank you.
Before we go on to the overview of the book and the process, I would like to share with the audience that they can learn about your work more and about your book if they go to www.spiritualtelepathy.net. And also, the events are there. There are excerpts from the book and what, you know, this is all about if they want to learn more. And you can also contact Colleen via online form here. Also, she has a Facebook page if you would like to connect and learn about her events and messages. And I would also encourage you to check out her ohmtimes.com cover story here. You'll learn a lot about her and learn about intuition and spiritual telepathy. So with that, let's move on to the overview of the book.
Okay, this is the basic process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of three mind training meditations in the book. This is the basic one, and then there's two additional more advanced ones. Mm-hmm. But I suggest that people give themselves at least 6 months to work with this basic meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to an esoteric school, and they took us very slowly through the process. So
yeah.
We did this very simple thing for a long time. Because what you're doing is you're training the mind to hold still. You're training the mind to hold a point of focus where you want it to rather than where it wants to go. We're learning to make the mind our servant rather than our master.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give your listeners an overview of this, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about my own experiences with this.
I
made a point of talking about my own experiences all through the book because I think I always like to read that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it real to people. So before I do this, I'm going to tell you that it uses what we call seed thoughts. And seed thought is a word, sentence, or symbol that we focus on. We're training the mind again to hold a point of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, we're sort of deeply looking at that particular word, symbol, or sentence. And when we do that, we're sort of looking for the deeper meaning, and we're training our mind to think more abstractly. And when we do this, that abstract vibration more easily tunes into the abstract vibration of the higher world. So it makes us sort of more compatible or simpatico with the higher worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very short meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You can start with just 10 minutes and then gradually bump it up to 15 minutes. And it's best to be done first thing in the morning. So what you do is you give yourself 10 or 15 minutes of quiet time. You calm yourself by closing your eyes and following your breath in and out for a count of 10. And then when you're ready, you use your creative imagination to lift your consciousness to a focal point above and outside your head. And you see this as the lower rational mind, now very still and receptive. And then you project a line of light even higher to the soul center, which is about 6 inches above our heads. And we imagine the soul as a brilliant sun or a radiant source of energy. And then we visualize this line of light reaching even higher towards the higher or intuitive mind. And we take a moment to hold this lighted alignment between the lower mind, the soul, and the higher mind. And while we're holding the mind steady in the light of the soul, we meditate for 10 to 15 minutes on one of the seed thoughts. And I have seed thoughts in the book. It can be on the soul. It could be, you know, on our service, whatever it is. And there's several examples in the book. And so we examine the words first with the rational mind, and we try to get behind the rational meaning to the deeper meaning. And so it's engaging enough that we can hold that point of focus for about 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
And Patanjali has talked about how we have to be able to hold our focus in the physical world, as he puts it, before we can hold our focus in the higher worlds, that we're essentially training our minds to become our tools.
Hmm.
And when we end the meditation, we visualize a pure white light pouring down from the soul, illuminating our minds, calming our emotions, and invigorating our physical bodies. And what I've experienced as I've done this day after day after day is that there's a very subtle energetic process that happens when we have soul light pouring down over our physical, mental, and emotional bodies day after day. It really has an effect. I think it raises our vibration and speeds up our evolution. It's very subtle. But I noticed that I started to look at things from a higher perspective. I became more tolerant and less judgmental. My heart was more open. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a kind of subtle and slow spiritualizing of our physical being.
Hmm.
And it's been a wonderful thing to me. I struggled with the discipline at first, but now I get so much out of it that I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The payoff, you know, that makes me consistent. And it's not easy. I mean, I had as much trouble with the discipline as anybody does. But what I discovered is that because it's so subtle, that you're building this connection to the soul every day in this very subtle way. If you stop, it starts to dissipate. And so then you lose that sensation of being sort of uplifted every day. And so that sensation was so nurturing to me that I got more and more disciplined as I went along. And now I feel like I can't live without it. If I start my day without it, if it's something happens, I feel like I haven't brushed my teeth or, you know,
mm-hmm.
pajamas or something. You know, I mean, it's just so much a part of my day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. So, Colleen, like you said, we can have any seed thought, something that's close to our heart, something that we want to make a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Visualize ourselves like that. And I know book has all the information, all the details regarding that.
I'll read you a few. These are the seed thoughts that I came up with and I've used myself. One is, let the actions of my soul motivate my daily life.
Mm.
And so you'll use that for a good solid month. Think about that every day. And you'll be surprised at, you know, how widely you can interpret it over time. Second one is, I stand within the light, and as the light shines down through my form, I radiate that light. Next one, through the soul, the law of love is manifested. So these are actually deceptively simple, but when you start to focus on them over time, you'll see that the deeper meaning comes out. There's layers and layers of meaning that you'll start to tap into. So it does keep you occupied. That's the whole point. I think it was Alice Bailey who said, imagine that you're preparing for a lecture on this subject and you're gathering your notes and figuring out what you're going to say. And that'll keep you occupied for a good 10 minutes.
Mm.
And so you successfully kept your mind focused where you want it to go, because the mind goes where it wants to go.
Right.
So, and we make it our servant, not our master.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this will lead to the messages that need to flow to us.
That's correct. What we're doing is we're building that bridge. We're extending our attention upward day after day after day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're building this bridge in subtle energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that allows us to pull in the information. The mind, when it's trained, becomes basically a conduit that pulls information from the soul to the brain. Mm-hmm. And again, it has to reach the brain to become part of our conscious awareness. Otherwise, it's some sort of vague, nebulous kind of, you know, something that we, you know, vaguely intuit, you know, but we can't really grasp. But it has to hit the brain, where it then becomes formulated into thought.
Yeah.
And there is a preliminary step to this, which I'd like to tell people about.
Mm-hmm.
And I devoted an entire chapter to it. It's called refining the bodies. that you refined the physical, mental, and emotional body. And the reason that you do this is because you have to make that direct connection between the soul and the brain.
Mm.
And if we're tired, if we have mental or emotional static,
right,
it's hard for our brains to register the higher information and ideas. It literally repels the subtle currents of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered that refinement practices are part of all of our spiritual traditions. The methods vary, but the requirements and goals are exactly the same. And they are purity of body, control of the emotions, and stability of mind. And in the book, I included the refinement practices that have helped me the most. And I had quite a hard time with this, and I'll be glad to share a little bit about this.
Yes.
When I really got serious about quieting myself down, what I discovered is that I was walking around with a huge amount of anger and resentment, old stuff. And it would get in my way. And Jack Kornfield talks about this too. When he started to teach meditation, he was really surprised that at least half of his students were unable to master even the basic concentration exercises because they had so much unresolved issues. And it just comes bubbling up. The more quiet you are, the more you're in touch with it. And it's frustrating.
Yes.
So I got frustrated enough that I thought, okay, I need some help with this. And I started working with a wonderful intuitive healer named Stephen Lanier. And he gave me his prescription, so to speak. And it was that I do three meditations a day, three additional meditations.
Mm.
One was on forgiveness, one was on loving kindness, and one was on compassion.
Mm.
And I did these day after day after day, and I started to forgive people. And I realized that getting over something, getting over a betrayal and making your own peace with it is not the same as forgiveness.
Yes.
Some of the stuff that bubbled up was really, really old. So I did this and I started to get more forgiving and I got more compassionate and understanding about, you know, the other person's perspective and what happened. My heart started to open more and quiet it down.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's an important point because I've experienced it myself. Like whenever I've gone deeper, things start to bubble up. I mean, to the point where you start getting not only emotionally, mentally, but physically uncomfortable, really uncomfortable.
Right. And I think this is what trips us up the most.
Yes.
It trips us up the most because we can't quiet down. And a lot of people, a lot of us need therapy. I had quite a bit of it in my earlier life. And so I was surprised at, you know, how much old trash, you know, was still there.
Yes.
And so I got the help that I needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll come back and discuss more after this short break. Please stay tuned.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
We were talking about opening our hearts as we go deeper. Our experiences or past wounds tend to bubble up as we go deeper, and then those trap us, and it becomes harder to continue. And Colleen is sharing what kind of practices we can do along to open our hearts.
Well, it's a big issue, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is something that I study too in the chakra system, which is really the story of our spiritual mm-hmm. evolution. They're referred to as energy centers in the wisdom teachings, mm-hmm. but most of us all know that we have seven of them, or some say more. But it's said that in most of humanity, only the first three are really functional, and that the new frontier, you know, our task as a species is really to move our energies up from the solar plexus to the heart.
Right.
And until the heart is open, we really can't do this kind of higher telepathy, that the chakras are related to the different types of telepathy, which I found very interesting. Instinctive, the lowest type of telepathy, utilizes the third chakra or solar plexus center. And mental or mind-to-mind telepathy utilizes the throat. And spiritual or soul-to-soul telepathy utilizes the head centers. And so we have to be in the heart space before we can start to open these higher chakras. And it's very important, because it's really the borderline between the physical and spiritual worlds. We have three basic sort of animal chakras below and the three spiritual chakras above. So the heart really is the middle ground. And when we start to open our heart, we take our first steps into the subtle world. That's when we start to get closer to our souls, and we start to understand this experience of interconnection. So I think it's why there's so much focus on the heart now. There's so many books, and there's the heart math training, and there's a lot of stuff coming out, because people just instinctively know that that's work that we need to do.
That's so true. And do you have any specific process you want to share, you could share with our audience to open our hearts, or the forgiveness and compassion meditations you're talking about?
Yeah, I have. Well, the three that I did were loving kindness and forgiveness and compassion. And so any of those I can do. Do you have a preference?
Compassion.
Okay, I'm glad you chose that one. I'll tell you why. When I was trying to forgive people and having such a hard time, I actually got so frustrated one day that I went to the library and I checked out every book on forgiveness that I could find. I thought, okay, I'm going to figure out how to do this. And one book was especially helpful. It was called Forgiveness is a Choice, and it was written by a man named Robert Enright. And he talked about something that I had never thought about, that we have to have compassion for the person who has hurt us before we can really forgive them. Never thought about that. But as I started these compassion practices, I did find it easier to forgive. So I put it in this chapter, and let me find it. And it's something that I do every day still.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to walk people through this. It'll take much longer when they do it on their own. But what we do is we give ourselves about 15 minutes of uninterrupted time. And this one I often do at night. I do my mind training practice as soon as I get up. And then this one I do before I go to bed. And what we do is, again, we calm ourselves by closing our eyes and following our breath in and out for a count of 10. And then we think of someone that we love, a mate, parent, child, or a beloved friend. And we feel our love for them, and we project compassion from our hearts to their heart. And we feel our hearts open as we think about their lives, their challenges and difficulties and sorrows. And mm-hmm. as we do this, we repeat this process with each of our loved ones in turn. And you can just do this heart-to-heart connection, or you can add a prayer. And I like to do this one that mm-hmm. Jack Kornfield recommends. May you be free from pain and sorrow. I love you. May you be free from pain and sorrow. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with some people, I change it because I know they're having a particular problem. I might mm-hmm. say, may be free from worry. May you be free from fear. May you be free from addiction. You know, I try mm-hmm. to go to the heart of whatever's causing sorrow in their lives. And then the next thing we do is we do it to ourselves. We think about our own difficulties, struggles, and challenges, mm-hmm. and feel compassion for ourselves. And
that's a hard one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, when you really get into this, it becomes easier and easier mm-hmm. because it's so easy to feel compassion for other people when you think about the challenges and difficulties they have that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do automatically start to think, oh, I want this person to be happy. I love this person.
Yes.
You know, you do feel that. So it gets easier to feel that for yourself. And you can add the prayer, may I be free from pain and sorrow, or may I be free from worry, or whatever it is that you're wrestling with. And so the next step is to feel and project compassion towards anyone with whom you have difficulties. And this is the hard one.
Mm.
That it's hard, but it gets easier over time. And I had one person that I had so much ill will towards that I was really having a hard time.
Yeah.
And what I did is I thought about someone that I loved, and then I quickly took that energy and sent it over to him. And that helped. And then over
yes.
time, it got easier and easier. And the relationship changed, too. This is somebody I hadn't heard from for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I get this. It's somebody who apologized to me after 30 years.
My God.
Out of the blue, yeah. So this is very powerful, the things that we do on the inner planes.
I'm sure.
And so, you know, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
And even that we just have minor disagreements with, I mean, it really changes the energy and makes it easier to heal.
That's
especially good. When you think about, you know, how difficult their lives are, that, you know, they have stresses and challenges and limitations like everyone does.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do something more neutral. We project and we feel and project compassion towards individuals in our town or city. And this is something that I sort of made up myself, but I watch the news a lot, and sometimes you see horrible stories. I saw a story about a mentally ill woman who threw her baby off a bridge.
Hmm.
And another story about a man who accidentally backed up over his 18-month son. And you just sort of feel, oh, my God, these poor people. So what I do is I made a list of people that I wanted to send compassion
hmm.
to.
Hmm.
So day after day, I do that to these, you know, poor woman and this poor man. And you know that they consciously don't know us, and they consciously can't feel it, but it does ease mm-hmm. their when they're being prayed for and they're being sent love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little box, and I keep my list in my little box. So people can do that, or they can just do it with their neighbors or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just sort of sending it out to people that you have neutral feelings for, not love or, you know,
yeah.
problems.
And I can actually feel it as you have been talking about these processes
mm-hmm.
with mind and heart. I can actually feel the energy flowing, and I can feel the coolness and, you know, the peace.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, I mean, if we practice these every day,
mm-hmm.
our lives are going to change for sure.
That's right. Yeah. I noticed, you know, more peace right off the bat.
Yeah,
so yeah. Let me finish it. It's then you project compassion towards all the people on the earth,
mm-hmm.
project compassion towards the plants, animals, and even the earth itself, and maybe even the solar system. So you're going from the personal to the universal step by step. And, you know, it only takes about 15 minutes, and it really is very powerful. Like mm-hmm. you said, you can even feel it over the phone line. So
yeah.
It's one that I highly recommend. And if anybody needs to forgive, try this one first. And I also have the best, juiciest forgiveness meditation that I've ever seen anywhere. I was really excited when I found this one. So that's sort of the next step.
That's so beautiful. I am so grateful, and I'm sure our audiences, I would highly encourage everyone to get their copy today. And I can't thank you enough, Colleen, to come to our show today, share your wisdom, and help us. Needed it really bad.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you.
That's wonderful. Wish you the best. And hope to have you over on the show again.
I'd love that.
Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much, dear friends, for joining us every Sunday and being with us, giving us your energy, sharing your energy. I wish you the very best in life. And until next week, stay blessed, keep healing yourself, keep yourself open to all that peace, love, and joy that's flowing over to you. Thank you once again. Namaste.